This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 588. I am Lisa Sheps. I am the host, and I am joined by my ever-voting, ever-faithful, ever-vigilant co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. And as always with the pandemic, we are homegrown and pre-recorded.
Hurry and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. We are just 4 days from Election Day, folks. On the show today, we have the Trinity Street Players talking about their fundraiser, their scary, spooky fundraiser. And then later on, we'll be talking with the company Less Than Three about their very interesting offerings. Stick with us. We'll come back after this song. This song makes me so happy. It's from American Utopia, and it's called Toe Jam. Now, before we talk about the song specifically, did you see American Utopia yet on HBO?
No, Lori hasn't come over yet.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I guess that means you didn't see the other thing that we're both going to talk about at this time. So, I did see most of American Utopia. I loved this song, Toe Jam. It starts with a little bit of a piece that's political that David Byrne did, and we'll talk about that in a second. But it's just a lot of fun, and everybody is barefoot in American Utopia.
I know. They were barefoot when they did the pre-American Utopia at ACL too.
Yeah, well, so American Utopia is all done barefoot. Except I happen to know that at least one of them, I forgot which one, has, you know, like flesh-colored socks on.
Yes.
Some of them have that.
I noticed it.
I'd be barefoot.
It may have to be with the instrument and the moves that they have to do that they need to grip.
You never know. Some people are don't like to be barefoot as well.
No, I don't think that's it.
Well, I'm just saying that some people don't like to be barefoot. I know many of them myself. And I went and I did a interview with all of the performers from American Utopia, and three of them don't like to be barefoot.
Okay.
Jim, Larry, and Amelia.
All right.
Anyway, so American Utopia is out on HBO and worth seeing, especially if you like David Byrne and what's not to like. And if you read some of the backstory, so it's got, I don't know how many musicians, maybe I'm going to say 10. Many of them, most of them, I think, are percussion. It's a very percussive piece. And there are two dancers, and they're just amazing, these dancers. And one of them... I forgot his name, but there's just so much to look at. He wears this wild blue eyeshadow, which is just so much fun. And he makes a stand of being LGBTQ. So this is a performance piece that has a lot of political undertones and overtones.
Mm-hmm. So the part of why it's almost all percussion is because when David created this, he wanted all the instruments, everything clean, no lines, no plug-in, raw. And so that's why it ends up being mostly percussion.
Right. So it's pretty amazing. There's one woman there who I just love. She's this blonde girl, one of the percussionists, but she has such this positive energy in every single song. And I just find myself going to her. But I will say, so we'll put a pin in that. We're going to come back to American Utopia. But the other thing that showed up that is available for folks to watch, which I'm guessing you didn't see either, was What the Constitution Means to Me, Heidi Schreck's show that was on Broadway right before the pandemic. I take it you didn't see it?
I'm Prime right now. No, Lori's coming over to watch the double feature.
I was just, don't get mad at me. I was just asking, for God's sake.
Yeah, no, I'm waiting for Lori.
Well, this is required viewing. Of course, you and I have talked about what the Constitution means to me. It's been in the news a lot, but very much like Indecent, I had no idea until I saw it. No idea how amazing this piece was. I also had no idea what the narrative arc was until after I saw it. Well, and I'd be interested to see if you get it. I mean, I'm not going to, there's a spoiler. So what it says at the end and what Heidi Schreck believes, for me, was kind of a surprise. So
I've watched a lot of interviews and watched a lot of things on her. So maybe like none of, yeah. So I don't know.
But it is amazing. To refresh folks' memory, it's mostly a one-person show based on her childhood as a debater. And what the Constitution means to me was a question. And there's a man in it as well who's just amazing too. And then at the very end, there is a live debate with one of two performers, two young girls of color. One is from the United States and the other is Bahamian, I believe. In the movie that we see, obviously just one of them does the debate, but we hear from both of them at the end during the credits. But I was in tears on more than one occasion. It was just such a beautiful piece.
Yes, I'm excited to watch them.
And I don't believe this is a spoiler, and it's talked about in the next little item that we're going to discuss. But she is basically replaying her 15-year-old self, but she doesn't, you know, she doesn't put on a 15-year-old voice. But
no, that whole part of the show is in the trailer.
Right. Yeah, but I will say that she puts on a 15-year-old sensibility, if you will. There is a very marked difference between her as her current self and her as her 15-year-old self. So I cannot say enough good things about this piece. And I am not one to like one-person shows, and it's mostly a one-person show. This one blew me away. There is an interview in Vulture with David Byrne and Heidi Schreck. Did you read that?
Mm-hmm. And about how they actually, you should be watching them back to back and how they intertwine together.
Yeah. Well, they kind of intertwine together, but mostly they're talking about the political nature of each. But it's them talking with each other. So it's not individual. So it's the interview is talking to both of them at the same time. Mm-hmm. And clearly it's a mutual admiration society. But one of the things that I wanted to discuss was in American Utopia, he does a song by Janelle Monáe called Hell You Tomball. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to put a link to it. There's a YouTube version of it. There'll be a link on offstageonair.com. And they talked about, both of them talked about race relations and how both of them talk about it within their piece. Mm-hmm. The song Hell You Tomball is basically say their name, and they say the name of a lot of people killed, black people killed by police, and in the case of Trayvon Martin, which when they said Trayvon Martin's name, I just teared up by a vigilante. But it's just an amazing, amazing piece, and as two white people, as Heidi and David Byrne are, David Byrne did call and contact Janelle Monáe to make sure that he wasn't usurping, you know, he wanted to make sure he's doing the right thing by bringing that on. But it's just an amazing piece. And I would encourage you not just to listen to the music, but to go to offstageonair.com, click the link and see it on YouTube. But what I found interesting is both Heidi Schreck and David Byrne got negative stuff. So David Byrne says on his contact, on his tour, some audience would shout out during that song, bull blank, and people would walk out. And Heidi Schreck would get a lot of people walking out after she talks about her own experience with abortion. Mm-hmm. I find that amazing. I find it disheartening. Not that people feel strongly about that, but I would like to say, depending on the subject matter, but if there's something I felt strongly about, unless they were insulting me in some way, I don't know, it would cause me to walk out.
I mean, people feel strongly about different stuff. We don't know their personal story and why they feel so strongly that way. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, like, there's a reason people get to where they are.
And I know. Well, when I interviewed, I forgot her name, who was here during Fun Home, she told me that people oftentimes on the tour would walk out right after Ring of Keys, right after...
Yeah, I remember that. So, I don't know. There's something inside of them, and it what's funny is I think a lot of times people walk out because they may see truth in it, not because they are upset by it. So I think, again, you can't always get inside people's heads. So, you know, it's but that's interesting.
True that. So just keeping on a political note, and I should say, as we always do, the opinions expressed on Offstage and On the Air are not that of Co-op, its board of directors, or its staff. They're simply my opinion and Nicole's opinion. Trump has been using in his rally the song from Cat's Memories.
I didn't hear that he was using that one. I didn't know
he's
that
using
one.
Memory.
I so knew YMCA and some others, but I didn't know Memories.
Yes, he is. And Andrew Lloyd Webber, which I just realized I said in my notes, AWL, it's ALW, has submitted a cease and desist, which Trump is not doing. And then Betty Buckley finally did the same thing. So she wrote a letter to and posted it on Facebook. And an open letter to ask them to please stop using it. But what I find incredible is you would think that their legal team, if they get a cease and desist, I mean, for God's sakes, he's the president of the United States. He needs to set an example. He needs to act legally, even though I know he doesn't. But it makes me a little angry. So the last thing we'll talk about before we hear our first guest is murder hornets. So in honor of the murder hornets... we're going to play a song right now called A Sleeping Bee. It's from the show House of Flowers. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-mm.
We've actually played some of the songs from the show on our show before, but it's worth knowing this is a show with music, but it's a musical, music and lyrics by Harold Arlen and a book and lyrics by Truman Capote. It opened on Broadway in 1954 with Diane Carroll, Pearl Bailey, Juanita Hill, Ray Walston, Carmen de la Valde, Alvin Ailey, and Jeffrey Holder. I mean, it's amazing. So there was a 1968 off-Broadway revival and a 2003 New York City concert. So let's listen to a little bit of the song.
When a bee lies sleeping.
All right, so let's take a moment and listen to our first guest, which is Trinity Street Players. And Nicole and I got into the Zoom machine and talked to them. And they have a fundraiser called I Am the Mask You Wear. Ba-ba-ba-bum. Let's give a listen. Nicole, I hear the purring of the Zoom machine ready to take us to our next interview.
I love that you've revved her all up.
Well, she's purring like a kitten. A kitten that sounds like a Zoom machine. Well, we'll find out. Let's open the hatch door and see who's there.
Okay.
Ah, it's Anne Zarate. Hey, Anne.
Hey, Lisa. Hey, Nicole.
I guess I should say there's Anne Zarate of Trinity Street Players.
Also a helpful delineation.
It is. It's an HDL, as we call it. So, Anne, I know that you guys do an annual fundraiser around this time, when what I like to call Spooky Month.
Yes, we do. We're so excited. Since 2014, we've had a Spooky Halloween fundraiser. It started off kind of being like fun songs from like Phantom of the Opera and Wicked and, you know, Every Day a Little Death, you know, things like that, right? And then each year I kind of sort of honed in on a theme. And so like one year it was, Oh, the Places You'll Hide. And our host was a 12-year-old boy.
Oh.
Concept being, of course, that there are, you know, witches and ghouls, but there's also really scary things like the dentist and, you know, bullies at school and stuff. So we did like, you know, from
Be a Dentist.
Yes, of course, Be a Dentist. Carl Gonzalez did that one year, you know, and like, and then we did a Green Freak, or what is that? What am I thinking of?
Don't know.
Anyway, one of those cult kind of classics. So we do a lot of the stuff from the culty, you know, weird off the beaten track stuff. And yep. This year, of course, the theme is I Am the Mask You Wear. I'm sure that you can place line reference, which is of course Phantom, but playing also on our sad reality.
We're all wearing masks.
We're all wearing masks, and some of us wish all of us would perpetually wear masks.
This is true. So we'll just take a little tangential break here and tell everybody, wear your dosh darn mask, please,
right,
over your nose and your mouth. Well, your poster, I love your poster because it shows the iconic Phantom of the Opera mask with a surgical mask hanging off of it.
It does. Yeah. We have a great graphic designer named Elizabeth O'Brien, and she's always super creative. All I have to do is say, here's the title, here's my theme, here's the text I need, have fun. And
so of course you're going to be doing stuff from Phantom. Can you tell us some of the other shows that you'll be highlighting or songs?
I would love to. So we are doing Phantom of the Opera, the title track, with Andrew Cannata and Sarah Zarang. And we actually have organ playing too. Nathan Callahan
snuck
into the First Baptist Church of Austin and played the giant two-story organ for it.
So awesome.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah. And then, so there are some fun things that we can do with an online fundraiser that you can't normally do always in a theater. This, look at me finding the positive in this.
Diet. Well, there is positive. It sounds like a wonderful event that you're going to have.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing a parody of Corner of the Sky, except for it's Corner of the House. For all those out there that are trying to live life in a 2,000 square foot house. And then we're getting a little more serious with some Your Fault from Into the Woods, a little finger pointing. And
I was singing that this morning.
Were you? Yeah.
Yes. It's Your Fault. That was so singing it this morning. That's funny.
I sing it every day to the mirror.
I have this amazing editor coming on helping us. And so I'm really excited about what she's going to be doing with that. Our editor being Lisa Shep. So
I'm going to help out a little bit. I would not use amazing editor in the same sentence, but I'll do what I can.
Are you taking something off my plate? Because if so, that makes you amazing. This is such a strange time for theater artists trying to learn a completely new craft of video editing. And so I'm grateful.
Well, what's great about this is that here in Austin and everywhere, really, theater artists are really sort of rallying and taking this really awful thing for our industry and doing stuff.
Yeah.
As we say
it
in the business.
It also gives you the chance to reach people who haven't been able to attend before or don't live in the area and can't attend all the time.
Yes.
So there's some really great positives in the outreach and who you're able to reach now opposed to being in a set date and time.
Yes, that is indeed one of the best parts about this show, because I have several people who will be joining us for the cabaret who don't even live in Austin. So right. Lane Michael Stanley, who's out in California now, former Austinite, as you know.
Yeah.
is speaking to us at it, and Demariel Jones. I don't know if you know them, but they're in Abilene, I think, somewhere like that, in school. And who else? Oh, Robert Joseph. I'm not sure if you know him. He's in Atlanta now. He did a Sideshow with us and Godspell. And so he's coming in for a number. So that has been the really cool part, is like hearing from people. And you're absolutely right. Anybody anywhere can watch it. And they
right. So that's exciting. I know Lane Michael Stanley is a playwright, and they have done, they worked with us on Transom, and we are actually producing their Rainfall Special and Me in May, but I don't know them as a singer. Are they singing?
No, they're actually, so in addition to singing, I brought in some other elements, and one of our founding members, an Austin actor, Amy Downing, interviewed Lane and a woman named Callie Sykes and my husband, Manuel Sadate, on diversity and inclusion and equity in theater. And so we've got a short little section, about 6 or 7 minutes, where these three artists are talking and sharing. And it's, we ended up talking way longer than the hour that we were supposed to. And so I've got all this great stuff. So I've condensed it down for the fundraiser, but I will, spoiler alert, say that we're going to be releasing a longer version of that we can share with other theaters and things like that around.
That is great. Such an important issue right now. Of course, it's always been an important issue, but it's really on the forefront of all of our minds these days.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. So where are you in the process right now? So I should tell folks that we are recording this on October 15th.
Yes
I guessed right.
October 15th. I am up to my eyeballs in editing, and I'm so excited to report that I have almost all of my actors' videos turned in, but I will refrain from calling anyone out on air.
No, we wouldn't want to do that.
Who might be 9 days late in turning in their videos.
Well, that's great. So that we all know that the process of editing takes a really long time. So it's kind of very exciting, and I think that it's great. And you, if I'm interested in seeing it, will I be watching it on the TSP YouTube?
You will.
Channel?
Yes, you will. If you are interested, you will sign up, receive a link. And then you, so you can watch it in real time with everybody else at 8 p.m. on October 30th. But we are leaving that link live for through Halloween. So really till 2 a.m. on November 1st. So if you'd rather do it on Halloween, or, you know, watch it together with your family or whatever, you're welcome to do that. But we're hoping that people grab the beverages and gather it.
Yeah, because doing it as a premiere is really fun, because mm-hmm. you can, not only are you watching it in real time, but you can have comments.
Yeah, comments. And that's interactive.
It's really nice to do that. So where do folks go to get more information?
So they can go to our website, trinitystreetplayers.com, and there's a link there that they can click on.
Great. Now, I don't think we've had you. Have we had you on since this COVID crisis started? And do you want to share with the listeners what any
we've
kind of future?
We've talked about you a lot.
We have.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
Really good. And everything you're doing.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'd love to share. So we had to cancel Colonialism is Terrible But Fuzz Delicious by Dustin Chin in the spring. And in its place, we started online programming called Performing in PJs, Making Art in the Time of Coronavirus. And so when we are supposed to be doing actual productions, we are launching that series. So the next one will be after our fundraiser, when we should have been doing The Secret Garden. Cry, tear.
I know. Tear. Well, I hope you plan to mount it once we're able to.
Yeah. I don't know.
You could change the lyrics there too. I heard someone crying.
Oh yeah, we actually that was one of our theme songs for one of the cabarets in the past. It was so fun, but yeah. So this fall we will remount at a season two sort of Performing in PJs, and then season three in the spring, pending what happens. So
Great. Well, we're all, it's a wait and see thing. So, I'm sending all my most positive energy towards Trinity Street Players, and we're so happy to have you on offstage and on the air.
I'm so happy to be here virtually.
Well,
I would love coming to the studio and hanging out with you guys. I think that's so fun. So
we'll be there sometime.
someday.
You came to
Well,
Zoom, you came to party with us in our Zoom machine, so that's fun too.
it
Yes,
is fun.
it
Anne Sadate of Trinity Street Players, thank you so much for being on offstage and on the air.
Thank you.
And I am looking forward to The Mask You Wear, your online Halloween fundraiser.
Thank you very much.
There it is. So worth seeing.
Okay.
I should tell my listeners that I helped edit one of the pieces.
A very difficult song.
A very difficult song. My Fault from Into the
In the
Woods.
Woods.
Sondheim, crazy.
First of all, Sondheim's just crazy, but that song is on another level.
Yeah. Well, that was great. So let's take a little break, and we will come back after the break. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps
Nicole Shiro.
and Sophie Sheps and
Liza Minnelli.
the real Liza Minnelli. Well, I'm going to continue with
She's
some of
giving me
our
dirty looks. She's giving me dirty looks.
Say that again.
She's sleeping through this, and every once in a while, keeps giving me a dirty look.
We should say that she's not talking about the real Liza Minnelli. She's talking about her dog, in case that wasn't clear. So I'm going to stay on the national level here. Have you seen the trailer for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom?
I did not see the trailer for that.
Well, it's out. You can go to offstageonair.com and see the trailer by clicking on the link, or you can just look for it. But it looks amazing, of course. And so oh my God, I just lost his name. I hate that. It's August Wilson's play about Ma Rainey, who's played by Viola Davis.
I know.
And in his final showing on film is Chadwick Boseman. And it just looks amazing. And this is a play with music, so it will attract everybody. And it doesn't say when it's coming out, and I didn't write it down, but it's going to be coming out relatively soon.
Is it soon? I was like, I don't remember seeing a date. I knew it came out and I hadn't gotten to sit down and watch it yet.
Definitely worth seeing, and I can't wait to see it. As a reminder, what's his name? Why did I just lose his name now?
Chadwick, August.
Keep going.
I think those are the only gents we can think
Denzel.
of. Oh, Denzel.
it's going to come out on Netflix on December 18th. And Denzel has promised to do all of August Wilson's Pittsburgh cycle.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. So, and this is one of them. Other people in the movie are Coleman Domingo, Michael Potts, Glenn Turman, Dusan Brown, and Taylor Page. So I'm very, very, very excited about that.
Me too.
Speaking of trailers, I also saw the trailer for The Prom.
I was waiting for you to say, when are you talking about the prom trailer? That just
Did you
came up.
see that one?
I did see that one.
Oh my God, it looks like so much fun.
It does.
And talk about a who's who that's in it.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I have the problem. I
Yeah, I
don't
know.
think
You
anyone
don't like
cares for Nicole
like
Kidman.
non-singers doing musicals.
No, well, here's the thing, Lisa. Like, we need to be giving artists a platform. Why aren't we using more Broadway people or more other people? Like, we're complaining that you don't cast here and here and here, and it should be the same thing.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I still like this cast. So to be clear, the cast that we're talking about is Nicole Kidman, Meryl Streep. She doesn't have theater cred. James Corden, also theater cred, and Andrew Rannells, also theater cred. I mean, Nicole Kidman is really the outlier there.
She's done theater. She's done a lot of West End, but I mean, that's not their bag, and that's their famous movie star. So, I mean, you
I know.
can tell it all you want, but it doesn't work for me.
Well, it does for me. Also in it is Keenan Michael Key, Kerry Washington, Adriana DeBose, and of course it is directed by the incomparable Ryan Murphy. I like Ryan.
Yeah, the one girl from West Side Story is in it.
Oh, right.
She's the one that I was like, that casting makes sense to me. But that was about it.
But it looks like a lot of fun. So I will look forward to seeing the movie because I did not get to see the play.
Well, they performed last Macy's Parade. It was the first same-sex kiss ever in a Macy's Parade.
I know that.
But it was, you know... It's hard to get zhuzh out of a number at the parade sometimes when you're just...
I agree with that as well. And I would say, based on what I've seen in the Macy's Day, it's damn near impossible. Because I have not seen a lot of zhuzh at the... I remember I was just so disappointed with Once on This Island, their Macy's Day parade.
I think it's just hard.
Which I believe was the same year, wasn't it? No, it wasn't.
No, I think it is. I think it might have been. No, it might have been the year before.
I don't
before,
think it was.
Actually, I think you're right. Tina was last year and some others. That's right. I think it was the year with Kong.
So the last thing I want to talk about before we talk to our next guest is Broadway Access Pro. Did you see that in the briefing the other day? Or it might have been today.
So was it today or was it? Friday,
I don't know. But it's similar to Masterclass, which I think most people have heard of, but it's specific to Broadway. And it looks pretty amazing. And this is part of Broadway Online.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get, I'm trying, I thought I had up here. Oh, I do. It's in a different place. So you can get the entire list of all their content, but they have daily exercise routines with Broadway stars. They have workshops on how to direct, how to do, you know, what's it like to do a Broadway show. It's pretty interesting. Yeah, I didn't go through all of it, but the one thing I don't think they have, which sort of makes me mad, is they don't have a stage management track here.
I only quickly looked and I don't think I saw one now that you say that.
Yeah, I don't think I see it, but they've got some amazing people involved, and you can get information by going to offstageonair.com. You could also probably Google Broadway Access Pro and find it.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. All right. Let's listen to our next interview, and then we'll talk about other local stuff that's happening. So this is a new company here in town called Less Than Three Productions. This is their second piece ever. And this is yet a different way to do theater.
Another way. Yep.
I know. It's very exciting to see. It's really exciting and humbling because my mind doesn't go to some of these places to see how people are dealing with the pandemic and still able to do creative outlets and theater.
You know why, Lisa? Because we're old and them young whippersnappers are out there making new stuff.
That's right. Well, let's listen to the interview. Here it is.
Nicole.
Yes, Lisa.
We have to sneak up on the Zoom machine today.
Okay.
There are things going on. I can't explain it.
Oh, all right.
It's best to just get in the machine quietly and we'll just go. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Let's open the door. Oh, look who it is. It's Less Than Three Productions.
Yeah.
Wow. Welcome, you guys.
Hi.
I would like to introduce you to the four leaders of this group, Jonathan Fukuoka. I'm going to say that again. Fujikawa, Jonah Fujikawa.
That's right.
That's what I get for not trying it ahead of time first. Allison Price. Hi, Allison.
Hi.
Gary Thornsberry. Hello, Gary.
Hello.
And Alec Lee Williams.
Hi.
So I'll just have to tell my listeners the story because I was looking for something to put on the show this week and I ran across this, which looks fascinating to me, and that's why I wanted to get in. And when I looked at the website, Gary Thornsberry, who works with me an awful lot, was that's there, and I didn't even know. So it must be some kind of conspiracy. So somebody tell me about this play. It's called Conspiracy Play.
Yeah, so Conspiracy Play is an interactive choose your own adventure story that's using role-playing, theatrical techniques, and also game theory. It's where the audience can come in and they're working with the main character to try to figure out who out of a panel of conspiracy experts is telling like crazy dangerous lies.
Like me?
Lisa, you were the inspiration, you didn't know?
I was. Well, so that's great. So is this done on Zoom?
It's all done through Facebook. So you join a Facebook video group and you join a Facebook group messenger and the whole experience takes place there.
Oh my.
That's so really interesting.
So if one does not have Facebook group messenger, I'm not pointing any fingers at the people here. can they still participate?
As long as you have a Facebook account, you're good to go.
Oh, well, and who doesn't?
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't have one for a long time, and then Mark Zuckerberg called me up and said, Lisa, what gives?
What's his number? You have it?
I do. It's 4. Nice. Let's go, if you wouldn't mind telling me what everybody's role is in this production. So, Jonah, what's your role?
I would call it the everyman role, where I'm just put into anything that needs to be done, whether it's marketing, the production side, the actor side, assistant directing, like whatever needs to be done, I'm just put into that position and helping out.
Yeah, in the business, we call that producer.
Nice.
Gary, what about you?
So we have a very, very loose structure in general. So we all dabble in a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I, of course, mainly focus on the design side and discussing like how to make the production happen, look the best that it can. Yes.
I should say that Gary is an awesome scenic designer. And so clearly he's got a great eye for the way things look. And Allison, what's your role?
I'm the team lead for the directing focus.
Excellent. And Alec?
I am a manager by trade, but I dabble a little bit with construction with Gary, do a little bit of scheduling, and even have some say in the artistic product as far as the Facebook aspect goes. So we all dabble. It's an interesting kind of structure we got.
It's a team effort. It really is like a collaboration team effort. You can see that through your roles.
So walk me through the process. How, if I'm a person, which some people say that I am,
I was like, you might be.
It's arguable. But if I'm someone that it's interested in coming to see this, what's the process for me? Tell me a little bit about what I'm going to experience.
Super. Alec, do you want to cover this?
Yeah, I got you. So essentially, you first purchase a ticket. And during the ticket purchasing process, it asks for a link to your Facebook page. So in the browser, you just copy and paste on your Facebook page, that little link, put it in there. Then you receive a friend request from our lead character, Problematic Patriot. So after you receive and accept that invite, you're actually invited to a group called the True Seekers Collective. In this group, there's an entire wall of posts from our fringe theorists in which people can comment and like or just peruse as they will. On the night of the performance, 60 minutes before, you get put into a group messenger with all the truth seekers. And then 5 minutes before, a room opens and you join. You participate.
So am I, and I'm assuming that I will walk in there and Nicole and I are coming in to watch it. And then there are other participants like us, and there would be actors in there, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm so sorry.
Lots of ambiguous faces.
Yeah, I'm really sorry we're not doing this as a video because that was a great look. So we don't want to give anything away. We're just going to come into this group. So do I have to bring my own red string?
You don't have to, but if you want to, then you can. Go for it.
Okay.
How early do you have to go in and start creating content and conversation on the site? I guess as creators before people can even go in.
So we've been building content and creation on the media pages for about a month. It's been developing as we started the process of the show. So it's kind of always building.
We post every day on the pages, every single day of like just building the world of Conspiracy Play.
Yeah, that is absolutely cool. Is there, I don't want to give anything away, but I'm assuming there's a mystery that needs to be solved.
Oh, yes.
Who's a liar amongst them? We have the three fringe panelists all speaking their truth into this panel. It's the job of the truth seekers and problematic patriot to figure out and make the decision who's the liar, who's lying for their own gain, to deceive the public for their own benefit.
And the fun part about the show is that because it's Choose Your Own Adventure, there's like a ton of different endings, ton of different show combos. So every time you see it, you could be discovering a new liar, you're getting new information. So it's never the same.
Yeah.
Tell us about how did this get started? Who's the genius behind this that got started? Were the four of you in a room playing quarters and somebody just came up with it?
Really, it's a wonderful mix of random inspirations we all get and then just us hanging out and chatting about what we're interested in that week.
Yeah. Well,
that is wonderful. Now, this has already happened. The first weekend has taken place, correct?
Yeah, it opened Thursday.
How did it go?
It went well. We had a really positive audience reaction. We get to watch what happens on the live chat with the whole audience. So you get to see them like figure out things in the show and you get to watch them like send memes and just go bonkers over some of the wild stuff that really happens.
And so once this is all done, I wouldn't expect it to be now. Are you capturing this on video?
No, most of our work is very ephemeral. So all this thing is created from a map. We have no concrete script. So once Conspiracy Play is over, the only thing we will have left is the map we built it off of. But the actors and everyone, they're so integral to the characters that when they leave, the details of the show leave with them.
Which I think is wonderful. I mean, that is that is theater. And so that's why many of us, pardon me?
Special.
Awesome. Well, where can folks go to get information about this? We're going to get the details here, and then I want to hear a little bit about this theater company.
Alec, take it away.
Yeah. So you can go onto our website. There's going to be a buy tickets tab. That's the first access point.
I'm going to stop you right there. This is my... That's for me to edit. Don't say buy tickets.
Got it.
So I'll ask you the question again. Okay. So how do folks find out about this piece? Where do we go to get more information?
Some people may visit the Less Than Three website for more information on Conspiracy Play. They may visit the buy tickets portion of our website. And they also may visit our Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube pages. There's links all there.
Well said. Tell folks the URL for the website, please.
Yeah, it's going to be www.lt3theater.com.
Great, and that's with the R-E spelling, so that's...
The fancy spelling.
The fancy spelling. Right. So I want to talk about Less Than Three Productions very quickly. I love your mission. Your mission is Less Than Three disrupts current theatrical practices through immersive artistic experiences. Tell us about, I think you had a production in the summer. Is that true?
We did.
Was that your first production?
It was. We had our first production in June, and that was a Choose Your Own Adventure play about female.
I'm seeing a theme.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we really like it. Yeah.
A little bit of one, you know.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So how did you all four of you go to school together? How did the four of you team up to create this theater company?
So I know Gary through grad school.
Yeah, we were both the same year graduate students directing Scenic.
And then I know Jonah as an actor. I've worked with Jonah. And then I met Alec through, I got a residency with Wild Wind New Play Development over a summer. And that's how I met Alec. And then we all just got connected.
Well, awesome. Well, I'm so happy that you did. Can you tell us why less than three, where that came from? Because in actuality, you're more than three.
Okay, so it's a fun story. Alec and I, we were texting, and I sent Alec the little like greater than sign in a three sign. And he was like, well, what does that mean, less than three? And I was like, I'm trying to tell you that I care for you.
Oh.
And then Jonah has the tattoo, funny enough, on his wrist.
I got this tattoo like 6 years ago for less than three, but
there you go. You had it was fated to happen.
That's right.
Alec, by the way, I'm with you. When I get those things, I have to think about what they are. Well, I'm thrilled, and of course you chose just the right time to start a new theater company.
Perfect.
What's in the plan? What can we hope to see from you guys in the future?
So we're actually currently planning our next experience, which is a digital escape room where audiences will work together to get one person out of a room in 60 minutes.
And every night, a different performer.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, no, I'm not scared. I'm really not.
Don't be afraid.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I really like this idea of conspiracy play. Of course, we're talking to a lot of local theater companies, and everybody's doing very different things, and this is yet another different thing. So I love seeing it. Tell folks one more time the website where people can get information.
www.lt3theaterrefancy.com.
And I should say the three is the number three. So thank you guys so much for coming on the show. And best of luck with your last weekend of the show. Or two weekends.
We had two weekends. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Less than three. Half of the less than three.
Excellent. Conspiracy. If it wasn't clear in the interview, folks have two more weekends to see it. So this weekend and next weekend. And then you're out of luck.
Yeah.
Because as they say, the theater is ephemeral and it goes away when it's done.
It does.
One last little national note is, did you see that Antonio Banderas?
Doing company in Espanol? Yes, I did.
Doing company in Espanol.
Well, he had such great success with the Course Line, and he has been, you know, he's been working with that one theater in Europe to keep getting Spanish. And the fact that COVID happened and he's still working on it, I'm so excited. I have to tell you, I listened to my Antonio Banderas singing Nine, and I love him.
I know you do. That's why when I saw his name, I said, we have to talk about him.
Smiling as I think of him, Antonio Banderas.
And finally, let's talk about what's been going on locally. Things you've missed, things coming up. But yesterday, not yesterday for you, because yesterday for me, so Sunday, no, Saturday, last Saturday.
It's past weekend.
Hyde Park Theater reprised on video their production of Tom Paine, Based on Nothing by Will Eno. Yes. Which, you know, I enjoyed watching it. Ken Webster did a great job. The piece itself, not really my cup of tea, but it was a really, didn't have a narrative arc per se. It did kind of, but it won so many awards. Yeah. And And Ken Webster does a great job. I don't think it is available to see outside of that, so I believe if you missed it, you missed it. But your next chance is on November 21st. They're doing Raul Garza's Running Bear.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm a little upset because Raul stole my idea. I had Walking Chipmunk, and then he did Running Bear.
Raul.
Also, you missed this one as well, I believe. Austin Playhouse just did Red Hot Patriot with one Cindy Williams, which was very good. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't see that, but we had them on.
I know we had them on. We also had Zach Theater on, who I believe has two more weekends.
They just finished 70s Female Rockstar. So this weekend will be Motown Grooves.
With La Chance.
With Judy Arnold and Kenny Williams and Roderick Sanford. And then the following week is Chanel.
Okay, can you just say that over again? Because I did a bad thing.
Yes, Zach just finished 70s Females Rock Stars, and they have two weekends left, Motown Grooves with Judy Arnold and Kenny Williams and Roderick Sanford. And then they have the final weekend with Chanel.
You know, so this is, she's done four things previous to this, so this will be Chanel number five.
Dun, dun, dun. I think she'd be okay with that.
I think so, too. And then the final...
Wasn't Austin Shakespeare this past weekend?
Lost in Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream. We missed that as well. They are doing so many more things online, so you can check their stuff at austinshakespeare.org. And finally, the Future X Festival at the Vortex is coming up November 6th through 21st. This is its third year, and it's going to be online this year, obviously. And so that's a festival that's just taken off, and hopefully it will continue to take off.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then the last thing also at the Vortex, along with Bottle Alley Theater, is doing Wildcraft November 8th through 17th. And all that information you can find on vortexrep.org.
Can I just say for a second, that's the first time we've done a full local segment with like bam, 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 with like a whole bunch of shows. And that just was really exciting, Lisa.
It is. And that's just really just the tip. A lot of people are doing stuff right now.
Yeah, I know. That's just exciting to be able to have a full local segment like that. That warms my heart.
Okay. And folks, if you want to check out on social media a lot of theater's things, you can use the hashtag ATX Theater, ATXTHEATRE. That's what we're all using in our social media posts so that you can just see what's going on here in Austin Theater by going hashtag ATX Theater.
Lisa made a great hashtag.
I did a hashtag thing because, you know, I'm a millennial.
Picture.
Well, that's it for this week's show. We did it.
We did it.
Remember, check us again out next year. Oh, thank you for reminding me. Nicole just showed us her I voted sticker, so make sure you vote. You have 5 days to get your vote in.
Five days
to get your vote in. Actually, that's not quite true because I believe early voting ends
on the 30th.
On the 30th.
2 days.
And then there's 2 days of nothing, and then you got November 3rd. Folks, I would really ask you to early vote. You're not going to want to stand in those lines on November 3rd. So we'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Go vote.